Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
In a moment, Marketplace's Stephen Beard from Paris on Europe's borders after these attacks on Friday. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Let's go right to Paris, where Marketplace's Stephen Beard has been at some of the sites of Friday's deadly attacks and is monitoring the authorities' response. Stephen, what are you seeing?
Normality has come back to many parts of this city, but in the neighborhoods closer to where the attacks occurred on Friday, there's a far more somber mood. There are fewer people out and about, and there's clearly a lot of police activity.
Now, the world is watching here. This could affect people's plans to travel to Paris, and that could have an economic effect.
What has this done to the image and appeal of this beautiful city? Tourism has declined this year by about 3 or 4% since the very much smaller attack in January on the Charlie Hebdo satirical magazine. So it would seem likely fewer visitors will come in the months ahead. Simon Cooper, a British writer who's lived with his family in Paris, is very nervous about the city now.
You have to think as a parent, do you want to raise children in an atmosphere of fear? I think having had Charlie Hebdo only 10 months ago, the fear is creeping in.
Meanwhile, authorities, Stephen, found a Syrian passport of a person linked to the attacks, and the news agency Reuters this morning is reporting that Greek authorities say someone holding that passport passed through Greece last month using a route used by many Syrian refugees. Already this is placing a new spotlight, I think, on Europe's response to the Syrian refugee crisis.
There's no absolute proof, of course, yet that the man who had his passport registered in Greece last month as an asylum seeker was one of the terrorists. But this is definitely fueling anxieties, the huge influx of asylum seekers and other migrants into Europe. And it's raising even more questions about the wisdom of Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor's open door policy.
And not just about refugees from the Middle East. More broadly, these terrible events are likely to, renew discussion about how open the European Union thinks its borders should be?
This is the Schengen Agreement, a key principle of the EU. It seems one of the EU's greatest achievements, being able to move freely without showing your passport between 26 EU nation states. The refugee crisis was already putting that under pressure. Today, conservative French politicians like Jacques Myard are arguing that it's now a matter of life or death that France should pull out of Schengen.
We need to control our borders. This Schengen agreement is not working anymore, and we should maintain internal control at the national borders.
Schengen is looking today more than a little damaged and dented and compromised by Friday's horrific outrage here in Paris.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in Paris. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Financial markets are relatively stable on this Monday after the Paris attacks. The key index in Paris, the CAC 40, right now is up 7 points, a tenth percent. The DAX index in Germany is up 0.5%. The 100-share index in London is up 0.4%. Here, the S&P future is up 0.2%. However, crude oil on the New York Merck is up 1.9% to $41.52 a barrel. The three big U.S. airlines, American, United, and Delta, are engaged in what has become an open dispute with rivals in the Persian Gulf. The U.S. carriers claim the Gulf airlines are rigging competition by getting billions of dollars in aid from their governments, aid they allege that is unfair and possibly illegal. Both sides have made their case to U.S. officials, who are now considering how to respond. Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
International travel is governed by treaties known as open skies agreements. Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly says the agreements between countries basically facilitate unfettered competition among airlines.
The airlines from either country can fly as much as they want to the other country. They don't have to ask special permission to do that.
For the legacy carriers, American, United, and Delta, open skies agreements have brought about lucrative partnerships with European counterparts.
When you fly between the U.S. and the U.K., you might be on American and you might be on British Airways because they've basically merged their operations in those markets.
Open Skies has benefited Persian Gulf carriers, too. Emirates, Qatar, and Etihad Airlines recently expanded their European routes. That's raised alarm bells over at the legacy carriers. They've created a group called the Partnership for Open and Fair Skies, arguing that the Gulf carriers are competing unfairly, thanks to an alleged $42 billion in aid from their oil-rich governments. Jill Zuckman is the alliance's spokesperson.
With the Gulf carriers being floated by their governments, they can fly routes that don't make economic sense, and they do it at the expense of U.S. carriers.
The U.S. airlines want the Gulf carriers to freeze their expansion into the U.S. and for the American government to negotiate permanent changes. The Gulf airlines say the Americans are shedding crocodile tears.
The legacy carriers themselves benefit from massive federal, state, and local government support of their own.
That's Tim Clark, the CEO of Emirates Airlines. At a press conference earlier this year, he said the American carriers should stop complaining and start competing.
The legacy carriers are earning record profits. Why couldn't they have spent that improving what they do? Investing in comfortable seats and all the things that Emirates prides itself on doing. It's not difficult, gentlemen.
Both sides have been giving an earful to the Department of Transportation. Now, with the public comment period closed, everyone's waiting to see how the U.S. government will respond. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And Japan has fallen back into recession. There's news today that the Japanese economy did not grow at all and, in fact, contracted 0.8% last quarter. That's two quarters in a row now of contraction, which adds up to recession there. The Japanese government has been trying to spur growth, but businesses appear to be bracing for what they see as gloomier times ahead by cutting the money they're willing to splash out on new business investments. From Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.